Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Banadare Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Asura nandana braja jana ranjana Yamuna tira bhumachari Yamuna tira bhumachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Banadare Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna tira banachari Jaya Radhe Shyam Radhe Shyam Radhe Shyam Jaya Radhe Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Confirmed. And let me just say all glories to the club of Lord Balaram. No fears when the club is here. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam today, first canto, 8th chapter, text number 36, prayers to Queen Kunti. Shrinvanti gayanti grinanta bhikshana Smaranti nandanti te tave hitam jana Ta eva pasyanta chirena tavakam Bhava prava ho paramam padam bujam. Shrinvanti gayanti grinanta bhikshnana. smaranti nandanti tave hitam jana. Smaranti
nandanti tave hitam jana.
Ta eva pasyantya cirena tavakam. Baba prava ho paramam parambujam. Shivanti, hear. Gayanti, chant. Grinanti, take. Abhikshnana, continuously. Swaranti, remember. Nandanti, take pleasure. Tava, your. Ihitam, activities. Jana, people in general. Te, they. Eva, certainly. Pasyanti, can see. Achirena, very soon. Tavakam, your. Bhava prahvaha, the current of rebirth. Uparamam, cessation. Padam bhujam, lotus feet. Translation. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna cannot be seen by our present conditional vision. In order to see him, one has to change his present vision by developing a different condition of life full of spontaneous love of Godhead. When Sri Krishna was personally present on the face of the globe, not everyone could see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Materialists like Ravana, Hiranyakasipu, Kamsa, Jarasandha, and Shishupal, boy, not a group of people you'd want your name included in, are highly qualified personalities by acquisition of material assets, but they were unable to appreciate the presence of the Lord. Therefore, even though the Lord may be present before our eyes, it is not possible to see him unless we have the necessary vision. This necessary qualification is developed by the process of devotional service only, beginning with hearing about the Lord from the right sources. The Bhagavad Gita is one of the popular literatures which are generally heard, chanted, repeated, etc., by the people in general. But in spite of such hearing, sometimes it is experienced that the performer of such devotional service does not see the Lord face to face. The reason is that the first item, shravana, is very important. If hearing is from the right sources, it acts very quickly. generally people hear from unauthorized persons. Such unauthorized persons may be very learned by academic qualifications, but because they do not follow the principles of devotional service, hearing from them becomes a sheer waste of time. Sometimes the texts are interpreted fashionably to suit their own purposes. Therefore, first one should select a competent and bona fide speaker and then hear from him. When the hearing process is perfect and complete, the other processes become automatically perfect in their own way. There are transcendental activities of the Lord, and each and every one of them is competent to bestow the desired result, provided the hearing process is perfect. In the Bhagavatam, the activities of the Lord begin from his hearing, from his dealings with the Pandavas. There are many other activities of the Lord in connection with his dealings with the Asuras and others. And in the 10th canto, the sublime dealings of his conjugal associates, the gopis, as well as his married wives in Dwarka, are mentioned. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no difference in the transcendental nature of each and every dealing of the Lord. But sometimes in an unauthorized hearing process, take more interest in hearing about his dealings with the gopis. Such an inclination indicates the lusty feelings of the hearer. So a bona fide speaker of the dealings of the Lord never indulges in such hearings. One must hear about the Lord from the very beginning, as in Srimad Bhagavatam, or any other scriptures, and that will help the hearer attain perfection by progressive development. One should not, therefore, consider that his dealings with the Pandavas are less important than his dealings with the gopis. We must always remember that the Lord is always transcendental to all mundane attachment. In all the above-mentioned dealings of the Lord, he is the hero in all circumstances. And hearing about him or about his devotees, our combatants, is conducive to spiritual life. It is said in the Vedas and the Puranas, etc., that it is said that the Vedas and Puranas, etc., are all made to revive our lost relation with him. Hearing of these scriptures is essential. Om Jnana Tamaranda Syam Janan Jana Shilakaya Chaksun Minidam Minapasmai Sri Guru Namaha. Mukham karoti vachanam bhandinam jayati gurum lakhi patamaham bandhu shri gurum vimhari. Vancha kapatudi vishcha kripa sindhu vahe vacha patitanam bhavani vyo pashri gurum maha. Jaya si krishna chaitanya prabhanitananda shri vedagadaka shri asri gurum bhakti ganga. Hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare.
My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, and that which has delivered me, my great fortune, and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. This is one of those verses that's just astounding. I mean, when I first looked at this verse, those of you that are familiar with giving class, of course, you look at the verse and you get, okay, like that. So when I first looked at the verse, I thought, okay, this is the train I'll go with this. And then as I sat down to put my notes together, it went a completely different direction. And as I'm reading this purport here, you know, additionally, you can just, every single point in here, it's an entire class in itself. This is just one of those purports of Prabhupada's. It's just like jam-packed to the very, it's just like, you know, it's the cap's not on the, and the lid's just in, everything's oozing out. Anyway. So here we are in the 8th chapter. We're deep into the wonderful prayers of Queen Kunti. My wife made a point to ask me yesterday. She said, so how many prayers did she offer? And she caught me off guard. I was in complete different training, so I had to actually stop it down. Of this chapter, almost 50% of it is all just her particular prayers to the Lord. Now, as we noted previously, these prayers lead to some of the most wonderful purports that Srila Prabhupada has written. And here, in this purport, he presents some very significant, yet at the same time, very basic and simple instructions that are essential. He uses that word repeatedly, that are essential if we have any hope or any desire of making spiritual advancement in this life. Now, the fact that we're all sitting here, either collectively sitting here in this room or, you know, sitting in different locations around the community as we hear, indicates that we're hearing the process of, that we're taking up the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. We're listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, and this notes that we are interested in the spiritual advancement of our lives. The fact that we're doing this alone is an indication, okay, I want something else. A life without spiritual foundation, a life without spiritual direction, as Prabhupada says, it's, you know, simply an animal life. Prabhupada uses the description so many times, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. All the creatures, all the species, regardless of the shape or the size or the type of the body they have, engage in these four activities, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Now, for many people, this is a stark realization. Oh, yeah, it all boils down to that. This is a point that I regularly use when preaching at Woodstock, which I deeply missed this year. But you get these people there that this very idea of, oh, yeah, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Oh, it's just like a light goes on or something when they get this concept. But for us, Prabhupada has given it to us so many times, and we've been able to see it by his instructions, that it's a very easy point to understand. Every species, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But the human species has to do something more than this. This is the qualification. If you have just an example, you have a high maintenance vehicle. It takes a certain type of gas. It takes a certain type of oil. You can't just, you know, buy 99-cent oil and throw it in there, you know? Certain, because of the way the engine's constructed, it's that. So certain types of requirements are there to maintain that. We've been given the human form of life, so the certain requirement is more than just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. This is necessary. Hence the phrase is given to us, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, that regular and regulated hearing from not only the book Bhagavatam, but the person Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada, in his infinite compassion and kindness and encouragement, looked upon all of us as the book Bhagavatam when we would speak. I mean, wow, that's a stretch. At least in my case, but that's how Prabhupada saw it. Therefore, he had us, sometimes even in front of him, with no warning, will you give the classes, man? You know. So, you know, Prabhupada saw this as essential, hearing from the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam. Now, Prabhupada was famous for analogies, and so many times when we're speaking, we think of things and look at things in an analogy form. I'm sure there's a proper word there, but so the analogy that came to my mind when I first the first couple of sentences here is boxing. Now there's a reference in boxing, if you're familiar with boxing, you know, I know some people that are very familiar with it. And if you're familiar with boxing, there's a phrase that he came out of the corner swinging. Now, this indicates two things. One, that the person doing the swinging has great confidence in their ability, either in what they're doing or what they're going to say. And two, that the person doing the swinging has no time to waste. It's not like, okay, let's play around here, do a little fancy footwork, you go this way, I'll go that way, I'll take a couple of jabs here. No, right out, boom! Finished, done, okay, let's move forward. So this is the way Prabhupada sees it. He comes right out ready to take down the opposition. These first two points in the purport there, they really capture Prabhupada's mood. You cannot see the Supreme Lord, and if you want to, you must change the means by which you are seen. Knocked down. Comes right out with it. So this indicates that it's not the activity of seeing, but it's the process and the manner by which we see that makes the difference. Again, classic example from Srila Prabhupada. Without that cleansed vision, one will go to Vrindavan, one will see sewers, hogs, monkeys, noise, rampant dogs, you know. They will not see the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Why? Because they're seeing with their eyes, they're not seeing with their ears. Now at this point, the logician amongst us will say, okay, they've completely lost their mind now. They're talking about seeing with their ears. That's not the way it works. You hear with the ears, you see with the eyes. But actually, the logician is correct in that particular sense. But we see from the transcendental point of view that through proper hearing from the right sources, Prabhupada makes repeated reference to here, one then can indeed see with the ears. Because the ears will impact how the eyes are seen. The hearing cleanses the eyes so that we no longer see the mundane subject only. We see the true transcendental nature that lies just beneath it. Just like this building. We're all sitting here very comfortably. Underneath this building is a solid foundation. And upon that foundation rests the rest of the building. Flooring, walls, the ceiling, everything like that, you know. It's not visible. We don't see the foundation. It can't be seen by a person just looking at it. But someone who's trained in building construction, they can look at it and understand that there's a solid foundation. The building's not drooping in this corner, and it's, you know, the roof's not cracking, there's not splits in the cement wall. This means the foundation is solid and strong and giving full support. So that person is trained by the process of hearing, by the process of doing what they've heard, to be able to see things that others can't see. Another example, if you come into my plumbing department at Lowe's, well, my plumbing department, but the department I work in. Actually, at Lowe's, they say that to me like this, you know, your people. Yes, my people. But if you come into the plumbing department, you're going to see 10 aisles of pipes and fittings and angle bracings and all of the valves and all this stuff, and you're going to look at it and no clue. But if you talk to the guy that knows, then you're going to understand how those parts and pipes and fittings and valves and all fit together and present a proper use. And then when you get that clear picture, you'll be able to see it yourself. You'll be, how shall I say, due to my association with all these parts and pipes, whenever I travel anywhere in the country, I immediately look at the plumbing. You know, I open the cabinet and look under the sink, you know. Oh, this is all connected. Why do they do that? It's unfortunate. It's a curse in one way. But because I have that knowledge that I've heard, I can see in a particular way. Same thing, you take a pujari. You take a pujari out of any temple, put them in front of another temple and let them look at the deities, and they're going to appreciate the beauty of the deities. But they're also going to understand that there were certain procedures, certain functions, and certain activities that went on unseen by everyone else, right? And that happened before the curtain was opened. They know that through the process of hearing how to do these things, doing them themselves, then they have that vision to be able to see it. Just as a little side point. Many times, people don't know this, but at the end of the Abhishek, when we're serving the deity, that little curtain gets held up. So what are they doing back there? Well, we're taking a banana, unpeeling it, and massaging the body of the deity with a banana. Because that banana soaks up all the stickiness and the milk and the oils and all of these things, and it helps to make it easy to clean all that off when you rinse the deity for the final time. So now you'll know. Next time you say, oh, they're back there rubbing the board with a banana. Now, that's a whole other transcendental idea, but at any rate. So this is the way that by hearing something, by doing that thing, then we can actually see it properly, even though it may not be visible exactly in that format. This is the point the prophet's making in this portrait. If you want to see Krishna, you have to change how you see. We can't just assume that these mundane physical eyes are going to see everything that has a completely different nature than the mundane physical eyes. Otherwise, you can be a highly qualified statesman, highly qualified businessman, very respected logician, a well-admired teacher, just like Prabhupada says, Ravana, Hiranyakasipu, Kamsa, Jarasandha, Shishupal. What a cast of characters. I mean, we know from reading Shastra, these are like, wow. But they were incredibly qualified materially. Prabhupada says, by acquisition of material assets, they had these positions. Great positions, respected positions, honored positions. Simply material, simply mundane. They were unable, though, to appreciate the Lord when he was present before them. And why? Because they had not changed their vision. And similarly, if we don't change our vision, if we don't purify ourselves, then we're not going to be able to see the Lord either. We might stand in front of the deity, but are we seeing the stone statue, brass statue, or are we seeing the personality of Godhead? So it's a very important point here. The Lord may be present in front of us, but it's not possible to see him unless we change the vision. Okay, so that's a good point. So what is that change of the vision? Well, the topmost of created beings are non-created, however you look at it. Lord Brahma, he tells us in the Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanina Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Balokayanti Yam Shama Sundarama Chanti Gunasarupam Govinda Mari Purusham Tamahamajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotees whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Sham Sundar, situated within the heart of the devotee. Such an important verse. So much instruction is there in that verse. Now, Prabhupada quotes this verse over 200 times. 217 to be exact. Now, I did a little bit of calculation. Math is not my strong suit. Someone else in the room is very good in that. We'll let her correct me if that's necessary. But Prabhupada travels for 12 years. So let's take off 2 years for his illnesses or not giving classes or whatever. So let's say 10 years of classes, 3,650 days. Divide that by the number of times. So every, on an average, every 18 days, Prabhupada would quote this verse. Got to be pretty significant if you quoted it that much, you know? So, and it is. Because again, it tells us that we have to have our vision changed, anointed with the pulp of love. If you go to the eye doctor, they give you this test. You know, we've all been there. Well, maybe some of you are young enough, you haven't had to go there. But at any rate, you go there to get your glasses, and they put this thing down with all these dials and different lenses and all. But before they do that, they put these drops in your eyes. And these drops they put in your eyes adjust your eyes so that the light can perceive them correctly, going the opposite direction instead of you perceiving, can perceive what's going on in there correctly and determine what needs to be changed or corrected. Very, very accurate description of our condition in the material world. Now, when that process is finished and they take off that, you know, this thing with all the dials and everything, you can't see this world properly. They recommend you have someone there to drive you home because your vision is no longer this vision. It's had some salve, as they say, put into it, and it's changed your vision. This is exactly what we have to do spiritually. But what is that salve? It's not some chemical drops. It's pure love of God. We have to have our eyes tinted by that. And then, by that process, we can see Krishna. And again, right off the bat, Prabhupada leaves with this point in the purport. It is essential that we must take in our personal devotional life this change of vision if we want to see Krishna. Wow, such an important instruction. Okay, so we've established a second point. How do we get this premanjana to Rita Bhakti Vilajini? All right? Well, if I'm going to get that other kind of salve, when I have the eye test, I just pay the doctor a certain amount for the fee of the test, and he puts it in, boom, done. Okay, great. Now my vision's changed. Oh, but it only lasted a little while. An hour later, I'm seeing everything this way again. So Prabhupada indicates if we hear from unauthorized persons, we're not going to get the same result. Now, so how do we get it? Prabhupada's business is not to leave us in the dark. He's not looking for cliffhangers just so we'll tune into the next chapter. So we'll read the next verse. Oh, he almost said it. Must be in the next. Well, Prabhupada gives us straight out. And in this purport, in the balance of it, from where we've come to in the discussion there, nine times in the next five or six sentences, he tells us what it's all about. It is all about hearing. He uses the word hear, hearing, must be heard nine times in the next five or six sentences. How we hear, how much we hear, who we hear from, what is the mood of our hearing? This is how much he stretches this. This is what an important point it is. Now, here's the amazing thing about hearing. Just like this foundation we've discussed in the house here, I mean the building here, the temple, it allows everything to be built on it very solidly. Everything else can be built very solidly when we hear from the solid source, from an authorized source. Prabhupada uses this word repeatedly in the purport as well, authorized. Quote, when the hearing process is perfect and complete, the other processes become automatically perfect in their own way. Automatically perfect in their own way. If we simply hear properly, the ability to speak, the ability to act, the ability to instruct, all these different things become perfect in their own way, automatically. Now, this doesn't mean we don't do anything, just like you have an automatic cruise control on your vehicle. Doing a 6 or 7 hour drive, so you're on the highway, you know, you put in the cruise control. It becomes automatic. It's not that you don't do anything. You had to get to that point where you could push the button to put it on automatic, but you also, while it's on, have to be attentive. Are there any cars coming? Do I have to brake? Are there any obstacles? So it's automatic, but it's not mindless. And it's not without some effort. So this is the important part there. So, okay. Great men, great women throughout all of history had given us this opportunity to understand about hearing. But when does our hearing become complete? Prabhupada says here, when the hearing process is perfect and complete. So when does my hearing become complete? It's a reasonable question. You know, I mean, okay, I joined, let me see, I joined in 1973, and so that's it. So that's how many years now, and my hearing's still not complete. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. The process of hearing is eternal. It's not just for a short period of time. Those late nights, or early morning, depending on your vision, those late nights when Prabhupada was sitting up alone in his room with a single light on, what was he doing? He was hearing. Reading, hearing, Prabhupada mentioned many times, reading is another form of hearing. Reading the commentaries of the acharyas, and then writing his purports. So Srila Prabhupada was eternally hearing. It's not that he heard it off in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and then, you know, spent some time in Vrindavan honing it. Okay, great, now I'll go to America. I don't have to hear anymore. I'll just speak. Prabhupada was constantly hearing. And he even liked to hear from us. And he even liked to hear from himself. There's a wonderful example. One of Prabhupada's servants, I don't remember if it was Sri Kirti or Hari Sari, went in and Prabhupada was there reading his books. Oh, Prabhupada, do you read your books? Yes, I want to see what Krishna has written. That statement capsulizes Prabhupada's humility and Prabhupada's understanding. This is the acharya speaking. This is Krishna speaking. I'm just the vehicle. I'm just doing the writing. So what have they said? Let me see. Such a humble man. So in the Hare Krishna movement, we fully understand and accept that the process of hearing includes and also means chanting or speaking or sharing with others, if that's part of the process. So we accept this as a foregone conclusion. you know, let's just move on from that. We don't have to spend much time discussing that. We'll accept that and move to the next part of this. So when we have that process ingrained in ourselves like we do, it's part of our daily actions, part of our lifestyle. So then what happens as a result of that? Kunti tells us in this verse what happens. Those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities or take pleasure in others doing so will certainly see your lotus feet. By doing so, we see the lotus feet of the Lord. And this is a very interesting point. It says here that by perfecting, and I use air parentheses or written parentheses when I say the term perfecting, because, you know, whether it applies to us or not, that's another point, but that'll be a different discussion. By perfecting the hearing process, we see the lotus feet of the Lord. Now, if we think about that, hearing means reading, means speaking, and then by that purification, we see the lotus feet of the Lord. It seems contrary to what we find elsewhere in the instructions to us. Take, for example, the circumstance of Ambarish Maharaj, a very, very famous verse from his pastimes, Savaimana Krishna Padada Vindayo, that first he fixed his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord, and then when his mind was fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord, then he engaged in talking about the Lord, serving the Lord, serving the Lord's devotees, all of his different limbs like that. Okay, so first he thought about the lotus feet. Kunti is saying here that by hearing chanting, you see the lotus feet. Well, it seems to be different. When we look at the deity, it's recommended to us to look first at the lotus feet of the deity and then build our way up to the thigh, to the knees, to the waist, to the stomach, to the arms, to the shoulder, to the beautiful face. So first we're going to the feet. It seems different. Studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. The first canto is referred to in the physical form of the Bhagavatam, which is another entire point to discuss. The physical form of the Bhagavatam, the first canto is described as the feet, the tenth canto is described as the face. So it seems the opposite of what's being said here. But the answer to how it is not the opposite lies in the purport to this verse from the ninth canto about Ambarish Maharaj. Prabhupada mentions in the purport. This indicates, this referring to the verse, Savamana Krishna Padada Vindayo, this indicates that one must execute devotional service under the guidance of a devotee or directly under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not possible, however, to train oneself without guidance from the spiritual master. Therefore, according to the instructions of Srila Rupa Goswami, the first business of a devotee is to accept a bona fide spiritual master who can train him to engage his various senses in rendering transcendental service to the Lord. The Lord also says in the Bhagavad Gita that, the Prabhupada gives the verse to confirm that. In other words, if one wants to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in completeness, one must follow the prescriptions given by Krishna by following in the footsteps of Maharaj Ambarish. Therefore, it is said, Rishikesha, Rishikenam, Sevanam, Bhakti Uchite. Bhakti refers to engaging the senses in the service of the master of the senses. These words are used in this connection. So, how is it that we would know to first place our mind on thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord to become purified, cleansed, and settled, and then engage our senses one after the other? Hearing, speaking, serving. How is it that we know to look first at the lotus feet of the deity and then gradually work our way up to the beautiful lotus face? How is it that we know to start with the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and work our way up? Because we've heard from the spiritual authority. We've heard from the authorized... How does Prabhupada... Yeah. Yeah. We've heard from the authorized person who can give us that proper vision. So because we've had that process preceding, therefore now we can properly hear and thus know how to see. Generally, most of us studied the Bhagavad Gita first. Most of us were given the Bhagavad Gita first, especially those of us from the old days, as they like to say. It's getting to the point where it actually was old days, but at any rate, we started with Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada came here with the Bhagavad Gita. This was the first instruction, basic instruction, how to hear from the spiritual master, how to serve the spiritual master. And then after someone studied Bhagavad Gita, we usually direct them, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said the introductory course, the graduate study, and the postgraduate study, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is the importance of hearing from the spiritual master. These basic instructions of Bhagavad Gita, foundational instructions, the foundation of the house, the foundation of the plumbing. This is all the stuff that's necessary, not necessarily regularly perceived visually, but necessary to get to the point of understanding everything else. To get to the point of understanding these types of instructions from Queen Kunti, we have to have a foundational understanding from Srila Prabhupada, the person Bhagavat, of how to hear Prabhupada. And this is in this purport here. Prabhupada says, don't hear from unauthorized persons. This will be a sheer waste of time. Being in the work environment, sometimes, you know, you get these instructions that come down from the corporate level. You know, reset a particular thing, display something in a certain way. And you get through with it, and you look at it, and you realize, well, this was a waste of time. This is just not going to work. Because someone behind the desk did it without proper understanding. That's a whole other subject, but at any rate, in the retail world, these are things you live with. So, a waste of time. You think, well, I just wasted the last hour. I'm never getting that back, you know? So Prabhupada says here, if we don't hear from the correct person, someone who's purified themselves by the same process they're asking us to do, it's a sheer waste of time. Nobody wants to waste their time. What'd you do all day? I just wasted my time. I didn't know anything. You know? Nobody wants to be described, oh, that guy, all he ever does is waste time. It's a derogatory term. Well, you know, you could take so-and-so and go get that job done. I can't do anything with him. He's just a waste of time. All he does is waste his time. You know? So that process of hearing prevents us from just wasting our time. So this instruction from Srila Prabhupada in these purports of the importance of hearing is something we have to embrace. Because due to the instructions on these matters, we have heard from Prabhupada, and these foundational instructions have been said to us over and over and over again. Majority of Prabhupada's instructions, his classes, his purports, contain the same information. Prabhupada was not one to describe lofty, esoteric, intimate, you know, high-level discussions of the intimate, detailed pastimes of the Lord with his confidential devotees. Prabhupada knew his audience. This is the importance of being a writer, to know your audience, who you're writing for, and to write according to their level. That's how you become a successful writer. That's how Prabhupada was spiritually so successful. He knew how to present Krishna consciousness to us. With our malecha, yavana, you know, degraded background, people who just 6 weeks ago had given up all kinds of sinful activities and were now sitting here discussing different spiritual topics. So Prabhupada had to present it to us because he knew we had to change the condition of life that we have. As he says in the purport here, a different condition of life is required to change our vision. Therefore, he gave us these things. No intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, chanting Hare Krishna daily, attending the Bhagavatam class, associating with the devotees, taking prasadam, that. These things are there because they are the things that will benefit us. They are the things that will give us the ability through the process of hearing to see properly. Just like if we go to Govardhan Hill, if we do some parikrama of Govardhan Hill. It can be a nice walk around a large hill, you know, if that's all we see. Nice sandy pass, a few trees on each side, some occasional monkeys running around and some cows here and there. Oh, this is enjoyable, I like this. If you're on the backside, as they call it, of Govardhan, at the right time, the sun comes up over there. Oh, that's pretty. Well, very enjoyable. But if we learn which forest is Apsaravan and what happened in that forest, and which forest is Kamudhavan and what pastimes took place there, and what is it that happened in Kadambavan, and where are the caves that Krishna would hide in sometimes with his cowherd boyfriends? And here, this is the place where Krishna and the cowherd boys teased the gopis and taxed them. And here's the place where Krishna and the cowherd boys rinsed their hands after they took their lunch. So by learning all these facts by the process of hearing, we can appreciate Govardhan Parikrama much more. And we become more and more enlivened by the so-called simple act of walking around Govardhan Hill. That walking around becomes much, much more than just an afternoon leisurely walk, which, not so leisurely, it's 14 miles, but at any rate, an afternoon walk, you know, in a very nice environment. We become enlivened by knowing, through the process of hearing, all the things that we're walking past and what took place there. Thus, our vision of what we're seeing at Govardhan becomes completely changed. So, this is just some of the points that, like I said, I looked at this verse and I thought, okay, I'll go this direction. I sat down and started putting notes together and ended up somewhere else entirely. Sometimes Super Soul says, yeah, you're thinking like that, but then, you know. So we have to try and, you know, make ourselves a vehicle for whatever it is that is going to come out. You know, we don't know anything about these. You know, we are not knowledgeable, any of us, on these topics, but, you know, by reading about these things and regularly hearing and listening to classes, and, you know, then we can get a little bit of background in what Prabhupada's trying to bring us to the realization point here. So we'll finish there. Thank you very much. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak about these prayers of Queen Kunti, one of my favorite parts of the Bhagavatam, and to somehow or another find another way to tie this into my love for both of you. So, any questions, comments? Somebody from, I know you.
There is a question on chat room. In our daily lives.
I'm sorry, what's the question on?
This is in our YouTube channel. Chat room.
Oh, okay. And I thought she said chanted, I wasn't sure. So from the chat room, okay, yeah.
In our daily lives, we meet many people who are not devotees, but who, by their behavior and attitude, commands our respects. Should we disregard such persons altogether?
Should we do what with those persons?
Disregard.
You can't disregard them. How can you disregard them? You go into the store, you have to have some exchange with the cashier. You have to have some exchange with the stock person who you're asking, where is this and where is that? You have to have some exchange with the mechanic that's working on your vehicle. You have to have some exchange with the guy that's coming to your house to, you know, do some maintenance or whatever. So we can't disregard them. How we deal with them is a whole other thing. Are we dealing with them from an egotistical point of view of, I'm so much better than these people? Are we dealing with them from a compassionate point of view? Oh, let me give them a little prasad while they're here. Would you like a little something to drink? Bring them some juice from the deities. Oh, here, take a little cookie. You know, we made some cookie, you know, like that. So we have to deal with people. We can't disregard them. We're not Babaji's living in a cave somewhere. So in that manner, we have to have the intelligence to know how to deal with people. Who was I talking with the other day? Oh. And we were discussing how in their work environment, there's no question of spreading Krishna consciousness in a preaching manner. But same time, I've been at Lowe's, like, for instance, 12 years now. I don't preach to anybody. I don't go out of my way to, everybody knows I'm a full-tilt Hare Krishna. Everybody knows if they have any questions, they can come to me, and they do all the time, you know. But it's not up to me to put it in their face. They know I'm there, it's presented to them, they can ask, then you have to know how to give it to them. So it's just according to our circumstance, you know, and according to our environment and our intelligence to know how to interact with these people. We can't disregard them. Then we're simply viewed as weird people who don't talk to anybody and just keep to themselves. And then that type of a society that doesn't interact eventually disappears. It doesn't have any longevity. We want to see Krishna consciousness spread to the point to where in the next 10,000 years it truly becomes the golden age of Mahaprabhu. So by keeping to ourselves and not interacting with people, that won't happen. So it's according to one's intelligence and circumstance. Anything else? No? All right, we'll finish there. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.